Was this pretty expected that the House would eventually get to the point where they veto, where they overrode this veto of Governor Cooper?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, we saw the Senate do it, and even though the House had three Republican members who initially voted against the bill, you know, it was always likely that they would come home, and they did.
It was interesting to me because this vote, this veto override vote in the House, was delayed several times. Do you feel like behind the scenes there was some arm twisting, perhaps, to get these other three members that voted against the bill initially on the side of the rest of the caucus?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. I mean, even though Speaker Moore claimed that there was no arm twisting or promises made, that's the way vote counting goes. I mean, the Speaker never wants to bring a bill to the floor or a vote to the floor in which he doesn't know the outcome. And so I think the idea of postponing until you had the votes was clearly on his agenda.
Now that this veto override has been complete, this is now law, do you expect there to be any challenges from a legal standpoint by the Democratic Party to challenge this veto override that the House and Senate just did?
Well, I think whether it's the Democratic Party or any number of other what we call good governance groups, like Common Cause or Democracy North Carolina, I think we're going to see lawsuits filed pretty quickly. I mean, this is an issue that isn't just about Republicans and Democrats in 2024. This has a long impact on North Carolina going forward, and it's a constitutional issue, so I suspect that we'll see it perhaps go all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, more drama in that race for the Supreme Court. I'm curious from your perspective, what's next in that race now that the state board has denied the GOP's request to throw out those 60,000 votes?
Well, the law does provide that the case could be filed in Wake County Superior Court. I'm assuming that the Republican Party will file that lawsuit to get that heard, and then if they don't like the outcome of the Wake County Superior Court judge's ruling, then they could take it conceivably all the way to the North Carolina Supreme Court. So, you know, I think we're still a long way from deciding the outcome of this particular election. You know, it may even be into next year when the court will run its proceedings one justice down because it's undecided.
It's fascinating to me just the thought that this race could be, the Supreme Court race could be decided by the state Supreme Court. I'm curious how you justify that in terms of justices having to recuse themselves or not recuse themselves in a case like this.
Well, it is very unusual. And in the ideal world, justices would look at the law and look at applying the law. But they're partisans on the Supreme Court. I mean, we know that that's one of the big issues in the race is, Justice Riggs wants to protect at least one Democratic seat on the Supreme Court. You know, we've not seen justices recuse themselves much in recent years. These justices have served with Justice Riggs. They know Justice Griffin. So it is full of conflict, but I doubt that's going to cause any recusal.
David, we heard yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, of Dan Bishop's new role within the Office of Management and Budget in the Trump administration. What did you make of that move by the president-elect?
Well, Dan Bishop has been a strong supporter of President-elect Trump for a long time. And so President Donald Trump rewards people who are loyal to him. And so I think it'll be a very expected move to keep Dan Bishop involved in the Trump administration. You know, since he's been in Congress, he does have budget experience, not necessarily in OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, but, you know, he has been part of budget negotiations. So I think it's not an unusual reach for Dan Bishop to be appointed to that position. And I think he'll serve the president as the president hopes he will.
I want to circle back to the State House now. Tim Moore, obviously going to join the North Carolina congressional delegation. His time as Speaker of the North Carolina House coming to a pretty rapid conclusion. What do you think Tim Moore's legacy is going to be as the Speaker of the House in North Carolina?
He's a very consequential Speaker. First, just because of the number of years he has served in that role. I mean, he served that role, you know, I'm not sure if it's the longest, but one of the longest tenures for any Speaker, but also just in terms of how he has worked with Senate President Pro Tem Berger, they have created a very powerful team and the legislature for getting conservative policy through. I mean, just even yesterday, as they were ending that session with a veto override, they proposed a couple of other constitutional amendments to further codify the voter ID law and to change the income tax constitutional amendment to lower that ceiling. So even as he's leaving the legislature, Speaker Moore is leaving his impact on North Carolina.
David, as I let you go, now that Speaker Moore is going to be in Congress, Destin Hall is set to become the new Speaker of the House, what's the dynamic going to be like in the relationship now between Destin Hall in the House and Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger in the Senate?
I think that's left to be worked out. I mean, they're not, they are familiar with one another. I mean, Hall has served in the House for a while, and so he knows President Pro Tem Berger. You know, the House and the Senate are very different kinds of chambers in terms of, you know, their membership. And, you know, I think Hall's challenge, as it was for Moore at times, is he's got more members with more diverse ideas, and they can be a little bit more raucous than the Senate members are. So I think it'll be similar to that of the Moore-Berger relationship, although they're different people.
Meredith College Political Science Professor David McLennan. David, always appreciate your time and your perspective. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. Look forward to talking again in the new year.
Thank you, Chris. Same to you.